Alison Spittle here. You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. This week's guest is fresh from the Cork Podcast Festival, one of the nicest festivals I've ever been to. Thank you so much to Aisling and everybody who looked after me. I had a lovely time. They gave me a tin of Pringles backstage and everything, and I've never felt such kindness as that. Lily Higgins! Lily Higgins, the liliest of the Higginses. She's wonderful. She's a food writer. I've met her a few times when I do the 6 o'clock show, which is a show that I love doing. It's this Irish TV show and it goes out live and you have chats and someone cooks. And Lily cooks occasionally and she's made lovely food in the past. And I follow her on Instagram. She's a great person to follow on Instagram, actually. And she's one of the funniest people. Like, she is a wonderful guest. And have a listen and then I'll chat to you after. Lily Higgins, everybody. We'll start the podcast.
Amazing.
How are you? Perfect. So, Lily.
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for coming.
Being I was a just watching the Elton, it's so funny. Oh my God, sorry now. Obvious things to say.
You're very nice. I did my oldest joke. And I did my best joke, which I liked. Oh, fuck it, I don't need to tell you anything. I don't need to be like that with me. It's quite aggressive, isn't it? I tell you loads. It's a podcast. Feck it. Yeah, I love doing stand-up comedy. It's fun. Yeah. It's really fun. So you're a food blogger. Would that be your predominant?
So it would be food writer and photographer.
Food writer and photographer.
It's very long.
So tell me, what was the first piece of food you ever taken a picture of?
I know. Do you know what? It actually does sound bizarre. Like, why would you want to take a picture of something?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I do, though. Like, I took a picture of some leftover. I put some pasta, right, into some cling film. Mm-hmm. And then I rolled it up really tight, and it was kind of like in a ball shape, right?
Yeah.
And then I microwaved it, like, a day after. And it looked like a brain. Like, it looked fully like a brain. And I was like, I'll take a picture of that. And then I took a picture of it, and I was like, I must never show anybody this.
Yeah, something. It was something like that. It was actually pasta in cling film as well, was what I...
Was it pasta? No.
It was, I think it was probably... Well, the first time I had to do it as a job was you know, when you get a loaf of bread and then you hollow it out and you put sandwich fillings in and then you put the lid on. Oh. So it just looks like a loaf of bread and then you cut into it. Yeah, it was ages ago. It's a bit dated now. That was about 12 years ago or something.
Well, that's so, like, so hollowed out sandwiches are so 2007.
And totally impractical. Like, I mean, if you were actually to cut into it, you know... And it was all held together with toothpicks as well. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't for eating really. Like everything I make now is for eating, you know, like we eat it straight away afterwards, you know.
What's been the maddest food trend, actually, that you've seen? I think those cake pops just before.
Yeah, cake pops were stupid, actually. I never actually tried to make cake pop because it's basically just crumbs from a cake bound together with icing and then in a ball shape and then dipped in icing. You know, so it's like crack or something, isn't it? Like, it's just like, imagine that, like, imagine eating that. It would taste disgusting, I think.
It would. Genuinely, it would taste like, do you know, like a bit of mother bird eating a bit of cake for her baby bird.
Just regurgitating. Yeah, I think so.
With icing saliva. Tuck into that,
lovingly. Lovingly. I know, I think that was gross. And I think it's kind of hard not to be persuaded by food trends, you know. Like, suddenly you see yourself looking at... There was something like, what was it called? Pea powder, pea flour or something? Did you see that type of thing? It's, you know, it's for putting together mermaid bowls. It's like a blue iridescent type thing.
What?
Did anyone hear that before? Like, pea flour.
What's
powder.
A mermaid
is that what's
bowl?
Pea flour powder. If, you know, if you blend loads of frozen bananas together and then you tint it with, like, beetroot powder and then you put it in a cute shape and you know, so just... crazy. But this is the type of thing now when you're on Instagram that you find yourself looking at it being like, oh my God, you know.
Really?
Yeah, and then you're like dragged into it and then you have to really stop looking at that sort of stuff, I think, you know.
How do you kind of like restrain yourself?
I just think that's not food. Stop looking at that. That's not real life. You know, what? It's not realistic. Like, it's not. And it's not. Like, so I think my job is to tell people about good things to eat, realistic things to eat, practical things to eat, you know, delicious things to eat. So, you know, not food trends and fads and stuff, I think, would make me really unreliable if I started banging on about things like that.
Do you ever, like, give food a bit of Hollywood treatment? Like, I've read articles where people put, like, steam and tampons into food.
Yeah, behind
like
it
just
for the
from
photo.
A kettle, like not like from a person or something like that.
Gross. Seasonal cooking.
Seasonal good. No, look what I foraged.
No, I don't do anything like that, I'd like to say.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not so gross. But people do that just to get steam effects when they're taking photographs. Yeah,
right.
They do. But I don't do anything like that. I just do it all. Because I think if I'm writing a recipe for someone, I want them to be able to cook it and for it to look like the photograph that I took.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just, you know, they'll say, like, I'll never cook something from her again because it doesn't look like the picture at all, you know. So it has to be achievable.
Achievable. So, you never use, like, glue or anything like that to make milk?
No, I don't, no. Okay, no, I didn't
of it. I was really looking for like behind the scenes.
I know,
Hollywood
I know people
food.
Put varnish on raw turkeys and stuff like that.
Put a face tune you know. On a chicken, do you know?
Yeah.
Make it look all smooth.
Filter on it. Yeah, exactly. No, I don't really use tricks. I do use things like toothpicks and stuff, but
that's fair.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I think that's fair, you know.
I was going to ask you as well, like you cook live on TV as well. That must be scary. Have you ever fecked up is basically what I'm going to ask
you.
No,
I haven't, but I think basically you need to pick something that you're going to get done in 7 minutes or something. And then you need to have like a backup one done, like one you made earlier and stuff. And you really, this is like the most important thing, is you do not need to care about it, you know? Because like if you really care and are panicking about it, then you'd be focused on that. So I'm always just like, this doesn't actually matter if I don't get this done. This doesn't actually matter. I always think this.
That sounds like a good thing for life.
You know, I just think the main thing is that we're chatting about it and we're, you know, I'm showing them this and da da da, and then that I have something to show at the end. Because usually, anyway, say with the Today Show, if it's Dottie and Maura and stuff. So,
Oh, yeah, because you do it on two different, you do it on the 6 o'clock show as well.
Yeah, where I've met you loads of times on that. Yeah. We always seem to be on at the same time, which is nice.
I know, it's brilliant. It? Yeah, I get really happy.
Yeah, so with the 6 o'clock show, it's very relaxed, isn't it? You know, so it's very kind of, so that's almost like pantomime.
Oh, but everyone hoofs into it after, as soon as like the credits are done, we're like, get me that food now.
Yeah. It's like, and the, you know, like the sink doesn't work or anything, you know, like it's just a bucket. And if you go to twist the sink, they're like, oh no, you can't touch that. That doesn't actually work. And you know, it's just like, so it's like, I just all pretend anyway. So like once I realized that a few years ago, I was like, well, I'm just going to pretend as well, you know, like I'm just going to bring the thing that I've made earlier and just then sort of, you know.
Yeah,
so you do have to cook stuff and everything, but I'm not in a panic like about it being right or anything, you know. So, but then with Maura and Dahi, then it's a bit, it's a little bit more serious, but Jai's always delighted and he just chat. It's perfect. Like, he's really great to chat to, you know.
What's Dahi O'Shea's favourite food?
He loves him happy. Spuds. He absolutely loves
spuds. He loves spuds.
Yeah, he loves spuds. Well, like, who doesn't love spuds, like? But he loves spuds, you know.
And that's so weird that I was like, why am I surprised?
I know. But when he used to be a butcher, actually. So
oh,
he used
really?
To be a butcher. Yeah. So anytime I'm on talking about meat, he's like, I'm hock. You know, he knows all, you know. So, like, you know, he wants to, what's it cut and what would you do that? What would you cook that for, you know? But he knows the answers anyway, so I'm always like, eh. So,
you feel like you're getting tested, but Dahil one day go, wrong answer.
Yeah. Get out. So I was on last week cooking a thing with spuds, but I was saying, you know, about day-old spuds and fry them up and everything. But even before we were actually on camera, I think he was just like, I love those spuds now, I love that. I was like, I know. I was like, save it for when it's actually on camera. Like, and he was just like, what are you going to have with them now? And I was saying, just sort of torn ham. Like, I was just saying, starting to say it. He's like, yeah. So I was like, yeah. So he's lovely, you know. And like, they only get one thing cooked per day as well. So everyone sort of loves it. They all eat it. And
that's
so good. Yeah, it is really nice. So, you know, I'm not going on to talk about a difficult thing. Yeah. You know, so I'm not like going on to tell my story about my whatever, you know, it's like I'm on to talk about like
ham.
You know, so it's actually perfect. It's actually perfect. Yeah.
I would love to see that on the Late Late Show if they just had a segment for like,
imagine.
So, tell us about your love of ham.
I know. They do cooking segments on it sometimes, but I don't think it works really, you know, when they bring on people on to cook because it's too
Is it too live?
Yeah, you know, they kind of roll on an island and stuff and it's just kind of
yeah,
that's not a kitchen, you know.
Yeah, like that's a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, but they shouldn't do it. I don't think on the Late Late.
So when did you first start? I'd love if someone listened to this and picked that out. It was like,
I know
Lily Higgins attacks
Late Late
Show. And if
they were just about to ask me for it. Yeah, if they were just about to say, we'll get her. Oh, no, she actually said in a podcast recently. You know,
you could make it work, though. Do you know what
I
mean?
But I know how I could make it work, and I could make it work.
Make a permanent kitchen in the Late Late Show studio.
Sort of a neat corner. You need just a backsplash. All it's missing is a backsplash to make it feel real.
I don't know what a backsplash is.
Like tiles. Oh, tiles. You know? Yeah. And then it would look like kitchen, like, wouldn't it?
I was like, what kind of food is that?
Yeah, a backsplash.
I was gonna make a joke at my own expense there and go, I'm just really interested in food.
No, don't.
I know, it's weird. Yeah, I'm trying not to do that.
I know, it's very hard though.
It's so hard. Yeah. It is. It's so hard because like not in Ireland. Why am I contextualizing this by being in Ireland? But like do you know, you can't like oh fuck it, I'll get into it. As a fat person, it's very weird to talk about food with people because they'd be like, oh, she must be huffing it into her the whole time or whatever, do you know? And like sometimes I see like people get like sponsored posts for Snickers and I'm like, how did they get that? And I'm like, Snickers wouldn't touch me with a fucking barge pole, do you know what I mean? I'd love to see like chocolate bars like employ fat people, like people that actually eat their food. Like, you know?
Yeah,
I don't believe those audience, influencers like, are like, I just love a Mars bar. I'm like, you do not. You do not.
Like chopped up on their breakfast bowl, probably. Yeah. You know, half like or something.
What, in a mermaid bowl? Yeah, a mermaid bowl. Mushed up banana and a Snickers just shoved into it. Start your day right.
That would be delicious.
I just love porridge and deep fried porridge with a Mars bar.
That's one of my biggest regrets actually is I spent the summer in Scotland before, not boasting. But they use deep fry Mars bars and I never had one. I was always like, this week I'm going to get it. You know, they deep fry anything that stands still for more than 2 minutes.
They deep fry Ferrero Rochers.
But I never actually had one.
I've had them. You can get them in Mullingar. Like, just
can you?
A quick tip if you want. Roma.
I'm there.
They brought the taste of Scotland to the Midlands. I've had it. It's quite nice.
I'd say so, yeah.
But they have to clean out the deep fat fryer because sometimes I've had a Mars bar and I'm, I could taste.
Fishy one or something.
Fish,
Oh, that's gross.
I love that you have a more visceral reaction to a fishy deep fat Mars bar than to a tampon. That was like. So I looked at my question corner here. I've got so many written down. Well, I got.
Does that say Titanic? She has Titanic written in
I do, because you're from Cove. You're from Cove. Explain yourself, Lily.
I was not there. I don't. I'm not responsible for anything. So I'll rattle off my school age. Cove is the last port to call for the Titanic.
Do they feel any sense of responsibility for
I don't think so. But you know what? I can actually.
You could have stopped them. Come back.
Don't go. Tomorrow's ship. I can see the Titanic Museum from my house, but I've never been there.
You've never been?
No, but I keep saying to the kids, like, this summer now, you know, or something.
Literally, how many Titanic museums are there?
Like, I know. I think there's just one in Belfast and one in Cove, I think.
One in Belfast and one in Cove.
Yeah.
And, like...
But I've been to the Heritage Centre. So has anyone been to the Heritage Centre in Cove? There's a bit of it that's kind of the floor rocks. you know, and there's someone sitting over a bucket going, oh, you know, and it's just like, this is what it would be like to be seasick on a famine ship. And you're just like, oh.
There's a fellow of buckets on a rack.
Yeah, like it's all very brown and drab, and there's just sounds of people just, oh, you know. So I was thinking, like, what's it going to be like in the Titanic Museum? I'm kind of scared to go. We should go as a group.
We should.
We'll go together. Like, I don't really feel like
help
going
me.
Like, yeah, just I don't know. Well, so it'd be nice at the start, you know.
Yeah, that's.
It would be kind of like,
because there's a weird obsession with the Titanic for people.
And yeah, some people are really obsessed with it.
It's because it's like where rich people were, or whatever, and they like the romance of it.
Yeah.
Or, what did you think of the film? Sorry, this is.
I thought it was very good. I think it's very good. I hated the baddie, loved the goodies.
That's fair.
Yeah, I hated the mother in it.
Oh, the mother was a bitch.
Yeah, the mother
was
a
real bitch.
Yeah,
like,
she was.
Don't know me to be used like. I find it hard. I'm trying to be a better feminist and not use misogynist words, but bitch is such a great word. Like, I can't think. Can you think of a better word to describe the mammy of Rose in the Titanic?
No,
it's not
she
non-gendered.
Was,
tramp.
She was a real tramp.
I love the word tramp.
But that was a very underrated film and a very good film.
Good. I'm glad I asked that question. Yeah. That wasn't a question I'd written down. Like, what did you think of the film Titanic? So, Fancy Vittles.
Yes.
That was a TV show that you and Maeve had in RTE. That was a fun TV show. What was that like to make?
Yes, it was brilliant.
And so it came from, sorry, should I tell you about Ha Ha Yum Yum was the Edinburgh show that you and Maeve did together.
So me and Maeve did this show. It kind of started off in the International up in Dublin. So we did, I think I was finished college. I had done the Ballymaloe course. I was just sort of drifting around. And I used to go up and down to Maeve all the time. So then she started writing a show for the Edinburgh Festival called Ha Ha Yum. And then it was just like sort of 1950s clothes and me baking on stage behind her. She just didn't want to be on stage on her own, basically, you know. So I had been training.
Was that
around
her first show? Or
no, it wasn't her first. She'd gone over on her own before, I think, but she was just saying like it would actually be great to have company as well. And I was kind of loosened anyway. So I said, like, perfect, I'll go to Scotland. So I went over with her. So I'm 2 years younger than her. So I would sort of trail around after her anyway. So I just followed her up to Dublin, and we were up in Dublin, and then we did this show in the International where it was just on stage, me making cakes, like Rice Krispie buns and icing on the cakes. And I didn't really have to. She was like, if you think of something to say, you can just say it, you know. So I was like, okay. So the first few times I was like completely silent, and then she'd start bringing me into it and saying like, isn't that right, Lily? And things like that. So
like,
I was really uncomfortable, but I don't really like this setup. I'm very shy. I'm actually very shy. So we started doing that anyway. And then we went to Edinburgh with it. And it was really, really good because it was kind of like, it was very non-threatening. You know, like we used to play Buddy Holly music piped in through the speakers while everyone was coming in. And we just got lovely crowds, you know, like no one ever heckled. There was like a lady fell asleep before and was snoring quite loudly. That was like
snoring.
The closest we got to heckling.
How did she deal with that?
She just had her head bent. She was just, and then we just were like, oh, is that lady snoring? Is she okay? Okay. And then we just carried on with their show. So, but it was really nice. And like during the day, we'd grind in our 1950s dresses, handing out cakes and saying, come to the show. But it was actually always selling out. It was brilliant because people, you see, they had to stay till the very end to get a cake. Which is
that's how you keep them.
Unique marketing on our behalf that, you know.
Have you ever
really good.
I'll tell you the story about like the weirdest Edinburgh audience member I ever had, right? Where I did this show called Alison Spittle Discovers Hawaii, and it was nothing to do with Hawaii. It was about the time I had a mental breakdown and had to piss in a wine glass. pint glass, sorry, make it even better. But I used to bring in people and I used to go, "Oh, welcome to Hawaii," and I'd put a lei on them and I'd be like, come in. I had like lots of inflatables and stuff, and I put this lei on this fella, and the smell of like old piss but fresh shit had hit my face. Right, and I was like, "Oh no!" And then I put the lei on him, and I was like, "Oh, there must be a mistake, or there must be." And then I looked, and he shat himself. He'd come in. He'd defecated.
Well, I've seen that on your posters, like, people will shit themselves. But
yeah.
I didn't think it was actually.
I shot myself laughing. But it was like, It was like my terrible. I only got an agent and I was so scared. And I was like, I don't know how to ask this man to leave or whatever. So then someone had to come in and go, could you come out for a minute? And then we had to take out the chair and take out the whole audience.
But and he bought a ticket and everything.
He bought a ticket, like fair play to him. You know, I couldn't. Like,
weird.
He bought a ticket. And then we had to, I only had a bottle of like Charlie Red body spray in the bottom of my bag. So it's just like, got the audience out, opened up a window, sprayed Charlie Spray. And I had my first reviewer in that day as well. Only did 20 minutes because it took so long to like, it was a very small room. It was a 40-seater room. Very warm.
No air. Yeah.
No air. But
atmospheric.
Yeah, atmospheric. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's any worse smell. Yes, we have a lot of Charlie Red. I don't know what I'm more disgusted by, the smell of shit or Charlie Red.
Yeah, they're like interchangeable now, probably, too.
They are. Yeah. There, I threw away that bottle.
That's very but gross.
Yeah, that was my wildest Edinburgh person. But I'm happy you had someone fall asleep and the snoring.
I know. I think it was because she felt like she was in 1950s. It was a safe space and she just fell asleep.
You're so kind.
Yeah. I didn't say anything. I was just icing cakes looking at her. She's asleep, she's asleep.
I'd spray a bit of icing into her face.
Why yes, go? Exactly. So yeah, so we did that show in Edinburgh. And I don't know what the time was between. We went to Dublin then and did it in Dublin for a while. And actually that was my first taste of, like we did about, 100 shows all at Rice Krispies. And then Kellogg sent a hamper of Rice Krispies. The show, like free Rice Krispies. I was like, this is unbelievable. We got free Rice Krispies. I was delighted. I was like, oh my God. Like,
this deluxe life.
I was thinking, should I tell them we've been buying Tesco Rice Krispies to make our Rice Krispies? I don't know. But we used their ones for that night anyway. I was just like, had the box on stage. I was like,
luxury.
We're rich. Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was great.
What's the strangest ever, like being a food writer and a food photographer? I bet you get a lot of food sent to you, or what's the, like...
No, I don't really... Do you know what? People in Dublin get sent hams, I know hams, but like big Christmas hams.
Hams!
And things like that.
And the then, bastards.
Or else they say to me, they say to me, send up, pop on your address and I'll scoot over a hamper of blah, 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 and I'm saying, okay, and then they're like, oh, you're in Cork, we'll just send you a voucher, so, and then you get nothing.
You don't even get the voucher.
No, that happens a lot, like where they're like, would you like a fresh flower bouquet with, intermingled with fruit and stuff? And it's like, yeah, grand, but I'm not going to be obliged to do anything. They're like, no, of course not. Da-da. And then it's like, they get your address and they're like, oh, sorry, in Dublin. I know. So I'm thinking of just renting out an office in Dublin just to get stuff.
A P.O. box full of decomposing ham.
It would be brilliant.
They go pick it up every week.
Every month and they just collect what's there. So I don't go to stuff either, which I think is kind of, and if you're not kind of seen
going
stuff.
Is that detrimental to your career?
I'd say it is, like, but you'd have to actually go to the stuff. Yeah. And I'm not willing to go to the stuff.
Yeah.
Because what the hell?
I find it so hard because.
Yeah, like, what would I do there? Like, be like, it's so exciting, the launch of the new range of stuff, isn't it? And it's just like, what would I do there? Like, So, and I see other people going to, Christmas.
I get jealous of people.
And, stuff, and I'm just, why? I couldn't, Like, they put glitter in it this year. This is incredible. It's edible. it's. So I don't go to anything like that, I just stay at home.
Oh,
it's easier.
I don't know, because I go on Instagram and I get jealous of people that get to go to these, like, the launch of a Magnum, and they get to make their own personalised Magnum.
Yeah, make their own personalised, personalised. Yeah, I just think, but like, they have to
do the hashtags and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, they have to sort of big up things, but... I just like doing things that I believe in, really. I believe in the brand and I believe in the message, then I'll do it, So I do like working with people.
Yeah.
But just if it's something believable,
Yeah.
If it's not something believable, then, I can't, So, I've never worked with Coke because I don't drink Coke, Things like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It wouldn't make any sense, for me to be,
I once was asked if I wanted jam buns delivered to me.
Yeah.
And I was turning vegetarian at the time, so I was like, no. but the person seemed really hurt. They were like, do you not want a tasty jam bun? I was like, no, thank you.
Like taunting you.
Yeah. Like they were a jam bun and I rejected them. Do you know what I mean? Do you not want me?
imagine.
Yeah, it seems like I don't know. I've been reading a book about like Instagram and stuff, and it seems
Is it Sophie Whiteman?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it good? I haven't read it now yet, but
I just.
But I will when she sends it to me. Thanks, Sophie.
You can put it into a Rice Krispie bun. Just the pages. Thank you, Sophie, in partnership.
Yeah, terrible.
But it seems like, I don't know, I'd love to be an Instagram influencer and just get a free dinner every day. Do you know, you see people go to dinners and you're like...
Well, I did do, I used to write for the Sunday Business Post. I was their food writer for like 3 years. And then their restaurant critic like left at one stage. So they were just like, okay, so for the next 2 months, will you be the restaurant
critic? You're a restaurant critic!
So, but that's really hard because... Like, when you're having a dinner, you just want to be enjoying your dinner, you know. You don't want to be thinking, but what is that flavor, you know? Tarragon? No. You know, like, you just want to be eating your dinner. So I was just like, oh, you know, like, I do know some lovely places I'd like to go, but then I don't want to be critical either, like, you know. Mm. Like, it's like if someone else cooks you dinner, you don't want to be like, that was gross, like, and you didn't do that, you know. You just want to be like, that was gorgeous, thanks, Millian, yum, you know. So yeah. I felt like I had to pick out critical things, like I actually didn't, and actually one of them was the Black Pig in Kinsale. Have you ever been there? It's so lovely, and really lovely natural wines and everything. It's absolutely beautiful.
What's a natural wine?
It's a like say either an organic wine or a biodynamic wine, so that isn't filtered or fined or uses sprays or things like that.
Oh, so lovely.
but the Black Pig in Kinsale has an incredible menu. It's beautiful. So that's one of the places I went to, and they have their review up outside the bathrooms.
Right.
Prime spot outside the bath. So if you're waiting between the bathroom, you can read it. Which is really nice, though, because I just didn't want to write anything negative, basically, you know.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get out of that job as quick as I could because I felt really under a load of pressure, you know, because you're kind of taking notes while you're having a dinner and, you know, I didn't like it. I don't like the idea of restaurant.
Did they know that you were the critic then, and would they be extra? Did you ever feel like the pressure?
No, they wouldn't, and I'd hate that as well. I'd hate that, like, for someone to feel like, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I once mentioned my local pub, Caffrey's, in an interview, and they put it up, framed it.
Really?
And then the local team won the GA, and I got moved. I was like, oh, times have changed.
I know, but you know what? I think it's nice to kind of mention things that, like, mention, you know, when it costs nothing, you know? So, say when I'm on radio or something, I'd mention, like a lot I get asked about my favourite places in Cove, and... You know, so I think it's nice to mention, I have to say now, Sea Salt is a lovely cafe in Cove, if you haven't been there.
It's a cafe called Sea Salt.
Yeah, and it's really lovely. It's kind of like zero waste and gorgeous, beautiful produce. And yeah, it's really, really nice.
I feel like Cork is spoilt, though, for good food.
Well, Cove isn't.
Really?
So, no.
Really?
No.
It's because of the Titanic, Lily.
It's like, thank God. Like, we really needed a place like Sea Salt. So then I always mention them because they're brilliant and they're doing a great job, you know.
Well, go to Sea Salt if you're in Cove.
Yeah. You better not edit that bit out. Or I won't get my money.
I vow not to. Go get a jam pot as well. Like somewhere from the Golden Flake Company. You can buy it frozen. And bring it home. I should go back to the question thing now.
I'm trying to read them like I'm cheating an exam or something.
Yeah, because I've only half written them as well, so they're a bit shite. Like,
that's okay.
You're so lovely.
Do you have any questions, Ed?
Yeah, actually, I should ask you, actually. This is the one. So you're a food writer. Do people treat you like a food doctor? Like, do your family ring you up if you've ever got, like...
Yeah, people do. And say, when I'm in, like, Super Valley or something, you'd be walking along your trolley, and then someone is like, is it like coconut milk or coconut cream I should be using in a korma, you know? They just sort of sidle up next to you, you know? It's like... I don't know, whatever, like, what recipe are you? And then they just, like, put out their phone, BBC Good Food, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know. Or always at the till as well when I'm putting through my stuff. What do you use that for now? What would you use that for, you know? And it's like, I don't know, and you're curious. Like, the only one who's bought the halloumi. People never buy the halloumi, you know, the sort of thing, like, always. So, yeah, people always say to me when I have food in front of me as well, because they kind of put two and two together, because... There's loads of girls in my family and we all look the same. So we're like, some of us have, you know, we all have kind of the same face, different hair, different heights and stuff, different voice ranges. So, but the same kind of accent and stuff. But once they actually see me with, like, holding a cabbage or something, they know it's me. So then they say, like, are you the one that does the
food?
Yeah, and then you have to fill in, you know.
You're like the Spice Girls, the Higginses. Comedy, you're like comedy Higgins and like food Higgins. I know. You know?
Except like people always know about the comedy one and the food one, but then like we have a superhero one as well.
You've won it. Like who works in the Middle
with UNICEF?
Works
yeah,
with UNICEF.
She's really she actually genuinely saves lives, which is you know. So Maeve is like. Maeve's like, you know, yeah, laughter is the best medicine. And I'm like, you know, you are what you eat. And she's like, here are vaccines and life-saving. And, you know, so, yeah, so she's really good.
Fair play.
Yeah,
fair
I know. Play. But there's loads of others as well. There's one who's, Rosie is really good at doing false eyelashes. She's really good at.
Really?
But like the ones that stay on you for ages, you know.
Oh, like the mink ones. Is that the
yeah, what are the ones she I can't remember the name of the ones she
God,
does.
God, you've got so much skills that you put together. You could have your own country.
But, but you can't do this to your eyes, you know, when you have them on. So
you can't rub them.
Yeah. So she put them on me before and she was like, you know, they'll be fine every 6 weeks. And I was like, okay, you know. And she's like, you can't do that. So you need to be strict with yourself if you want to wear those eyelashes.
That is top good
tip.
To know.
Top yes.
I got confused there. I was like, that the one for UNICEF? Like, what
yeah,
you doing?
I know. She has hints and tips like that. Yeah, so there's loads of us all doing different things.
Cool.
Yeah. Some of the boring ones I won't mention. Sorry, guys.
I asked you about the Edinburgh show you did together, and they nearly asked you about Fancy Vittles, but Fancy Vittles is one of my favourite TV shows. I loved it.
Thank you.
Massive fan of Maeve before I did comedy, and like my aunt, I watched Fancy Vittles with my aunt, and she.
And you know she loves you as well. Absolutely loves you.
Who, my aunt?
No, Maeve does. Oh. Your aunt does as well. Your aunt does as well. But even when you were, and my dad, like, when you were in Maeve's film there recently, and we were all in cinema in Galway watching it,
yeah.
And then my dad was like, there's Alison. Ah. You know, like, delighted when he saw you.
Oh, my God. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, because I love you. Yeah.
Have you seen Extraordinary? It's coming out. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bring this
it's
episode.
It's in the UK this week, actually.
That's
it.
So that's, I'm going to bring out
it's
this
gone
episode
from Ireland
next.
Already.
I know.
Yeah, so it's going to be in the UK.
I know. I fucking... I'm going to bring this episode out now, like, the next one.
Oh, perfect.
So then I'll go... By the way, you can see... Maeve, Lily's sister's film.
Brilliant.
You know?
Yeah,
is it the 25th of October?
Nice link. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Feck
yeah, it.
It's a good. It's a good film. It's a good film. But Fancy Vittles is one of my favorite shows. I watched it with my aunt. My aunt thought it was like a cookery show, and I was busting my whole laughing at it. And then she's like, "Are you going to give out the measurements?" Is she?
It did look like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it was in my kitchen at home. We were just like renting this little cottage in Cove and Maeve was saying, like, I want to do the show and will you do the set design for it? Because I did all that sort of stuff in college, did graphic design stuff. So I was saying, yeah, it will, perfect. So then I was sort of doing the set design for it. She's like, you know, the day before, then she's like, sorry now.
The day before?
Yeah, she was like, will you just be in the background as well? And I was like, oh, Maeve, you always make me do this. So then I was just in the background as well. Because luckily I was doing nothing anyway. So I was able to just so I was able to just hang around in the background. And again, then she was like, if you want to say something, say something. And I said, no, it's great.
It was so funny.
But like, I don't know how she did it. Really?
Really?
You know? Yeah.
What
I don't know
like
how she did
filming it.
She was just really, really good and she'd be kind of nervous and but knew how she wanted it to be. And you know, there was so much involved in it. Like they had all the little it's all still on YouTube and
yeah, you can get it on YouTube, it's brilliant.
Yeah. So she had all the little they had all the went through all the RTÉ archives for old footage, like, and it's beautifully put together. And then myself and Ian, who's Maeve's housemate, he was working on it as well. And Liam, who's from Scratch Productions, we all did little stop frame animations to go with it as well, which is really brilliant.
Because you studied animation, didn't you?
Yeah, so I did animation college as well. So we did these little stop frame animations in between with the food and stuff, but like, you know, they're just a few seconds, but this kind of, it just gives kind of a sense of magic to Fancy Vittles that I thought I had. It was a lovely kind of a homemade sort of bit of magic, gentle comedy, but still really, you know, like, I think it was really good, like, so, yeah,
I busted my whole, like, genuinely busted my whole laughing at it. It was like the best RTÉ program for me, like, to watch.
Thanks
was
so.
Fancy Vittles, and I was so pissed off that there wasn't a second series, and I was more pissed off about you not getting a second series than me not getting a second series. I thought it was really
good. When you know the work that goes behind it, so
yeah,
you know. I was just thinking to Maeve, like, oh, poor Maeve, you know. But, like, she's just, you know, she went to, like, she was in Dublin for ages, then went to London, and now I think she's in Newark, and she just loves it. You know, it's like her place now, definitely, you know. She's found a tribe, guys, you know, she's found a tribe.
Ah, that's cool.
She does, she loves it over there, you know.
And you're thriving as well, like, with the food blogging. Oh, and yeah. Like, you were working for Jamie Oliver at some point.
No, was I wasn't working with Jamie Oliver, thank God.
Was there some sort
of
YouTube thing or something?
No, I didn't do a YouTube thing.
Fuck! No.
Unless you know something, you're fresh from London. Oh my God, what did you hear?
Why do I have it in my head? That's ridiculous. I don't know. And I can't confuse but you with anyone else, but like, fuck, maybe I thought that's what you should be doing.
No, well, I started with the blogging, say.
Yeah.
And then, so I started that in 2010, just after I did the Bellamy course, but then, like, got a book deal with Gillian Macmillan and did Cookery Book, but then started writing freelance sort of straight away. So it's kind of funny that I started with the food blogging, but then, like, I haven't put up any blogs since February or something. It's really like you neglect the thing that you start with once you actually start working. And so I've been the Irish Times now for 5 years, just every week.
Yeah.
So, like, I need to add up what 5 plus 3, whatever that is. 5 plus 3 years. Eight. I had a column every single week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like a lot of content.
That's like, it's impossible to add up what that would be. But yeah, so that's like a photo and recipe every single week. And even like when I had my kids, I was kind of like really unprepared because I was like, okay, baby's due really soon, so I need to. And then, you know, baby was 2 weeks early and I was like, oh, this is like, okay, the next time I have a baby, I'm going to cut again. Was totally behind in my articles, you know, so it was like literally. Like, I remember the public health nurse coming and saying, like, what are you doing with the camera? And the it was like a mushroom polenta dish. She was like, what's that over there? I was like, that's a mushroom with a polenta and it's actually using gorgonzola instead of it. And she was just like, you need to relax. Just think about the baby. I was like, no, I have a deadline, actually. So so it's kind of like nonstop with stuff like that. You know what it is like? But it's so great that I can fit it in family life. So I do love the food writing and the photography is brilliant with it. I'm trying to do little videos now as well, which I really love. So I'm like finally using stuff that I learned in college like years and years ago. So I'm able to kind of justify all those years of doing stuff. You know, when it sort of all comes together and you're thinking like, oh yeah, that's why I did that 4 years of that. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it comes in handy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's you're making that's a great cool. life for yourself in Cove. Yeah, like, because there's people that are working freelance and doing stuff they want to do, but living in shitholes.
Yeah, it's very it's very hard to do freelance stuff. It is very hard. But
sorry,
I think no, of course it is.
Like, I live in a shithole. Like,
and it's kind of like
I live with five other people. In Camden, there's cockroaches in the kitchen.
I live with four other people.
Did you?
No, I do right now, like.
Oh, yeah, they're children. Yeah, sorry. They're,
they're like, do you have to clean up after your housemates? I do.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I don't envy you.
I cook them all the time. I do nothing. I like trying to do rotas, and they're like, I'm four. Bring out the bins. So, yeah. No, it's very hard to be freelance, and it's very hard to be kind of like, you know, I'm going to stick with the plan and do what I love and da-da-da, you know, when you've, like, actually my 7-year-old today, I was like, I've got this new job and I'm doing videos and I'm doing da-da-da, you know, just talking at dinner, and he was like, Mom, like, he's obsessed with doing these Lego videos now. He's doing his own stop frame animation stuff, and he's like, sorry now, but you need to get a job, you know? I was like, what the hell? I was like, my job is that I need to make videos with the pumpkins, like. And you just heard me telling Daddy that, you know. And he was just like, but, like, I do videos, like, you know. Like, you need to get a real job, like a mom, like. And I was just like, so I'm actually embarrassing him by doing videos about pumpkins, imagine. It's
terrible. Oh, my gosh.
But he's actually the first person who's ever said to me, get a real job, I have to say.
Your own son.
Yeah. He is like. And I was like, how do you think I bought all the stuff you're wearing and stuff, you know? But, you know, he had, like, something on a fork, and he was kind of, you need to get a real job. You know? You little shit. But he's very funny. I don't know the babes. Yeah, so funny.
But what do you give out for trick-or-treats, actually? You must have a lot of pressure on you.
Well, we lived kind of in the middle of the countryside.
There was a Protestant family in my village that gave out apples, like...
I know.
Candied apples.
Someone has to. I know.
It's like fair play to them.
I think there's all old people where we are at the moment. And they said, like, usually people don't answer their doors. So don't feel under pressure to answer your door. And it's kind of like, oh, you know, like the kids are all geared up for it, you know, but no one's going to visit. Like,
So
we'll have to just, you know, drive to an estate and drop them there. So, like, just try and stay together. Be back in 3 hours.
Do you know?
No, we'll go around like where their cousins are and stuff, where okay. I know there's good. But like you have to have sweets in anyway, you know, just in case people call.
Well, what would be the perfect sweet now you keep in your house for the trick or treaters?
God. I suppose those packets of Haribo stuff are good, aren't they? Because you don't have to think about it.
Oh, they look yeah. like they're worth a lot of money.
And then for all the teenagers, like a handful of monkey nuts.
Yeah. Teenagers!
Here you go, lads, you know, yeah, brazen. Because you know what they call and they're like, triggers, you know. And it's just like, you're such pups, like.
Yeah. You're getting nuts.
Yeah, here's your nuts.
So. And if you ever darken my door again.
I know. Yeah, there's a bit of pressure, right? But yeah, I think it's grand. Just penny sweets.
So do you do Christmas dinner now for the extended family or is it just yourself or what's the...
We do every second year. So this year it's in Cove, which is great.
Great.
In my parents' house. Yeah, so I'm delighted.
Well, what do you do now for Christmas dinner?
Well, actually, Maeve is kind of in charge of doing the list of stuff. So like, you know, she crisscrosses the bases of Sprouts and I'm like, technically, you don't need to do that, you know. And she's just
do
like,
you not?
No, you don't need to do what? That, like... But she's just like, but she's my getting life has loads been a lie. Of bags and bags of Sprouts and she'd sit there Christmas Eve, you know, just... Peel, yeah. You know, and it's just like,
oh. I love prep and the veg.
And you know, about 4 years ago, there was a sprout shortage, like, yeah.
I didn't know that.
There was a sprout shortage. I remember Uncle called to the door, dark, stormy Christmas Eve, just being like, have you any spare sprouts? And we were like, oh. We've none. Sorry, you know.
I haven't seen a sprout in 11 months.
Like, nobody really eats them anyway. But actually, just this now is kind of serious, but it is a really good way to cook sprouts with roast them with maple syrup and then toasted pecan nuts.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, the website, it's on the Irish Times. If you just Google Lily Higgins sprouts, it'll come up.
Oh, wow.
Let's get it trending, guys.
Very on trend. Yeah, because I've just gone vegetarian this year.
But there's loads you could do as a vegetarian for Christmas.
Yeah, because I loved shoving bacon into every vegetable at Christmas. I'd be like, it's Christmas, get the bacon grease out.
I know. And like goose fat. And yeah, because my brother and one of my sisters is a vegetarian. So every year we had to do like the tray spuds that didn't have goose fat on them. And you know,
the
and
sweet
sometimes
stuff.
We'd give them one that did have goose fat. And be like, what do you think of that?
Oh my God.
It's delicious. Like, yeah.
Oh my God. That is sabotage.
But like they ate rashes for years and stuff.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
It's fine. I think it's fine if you're like, I'd love to be a vegetarian, but I just can't give up rashes, you know? So it's like being a vegetarian that eats rashes, like, it's no problem.
Do you think I could be allowed?
You could
like,
do that. Have your jambon and still be a vegetarian if you want, like.
You can have your jambon and eat it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just.
Yes. But it's fine, like, you know, you don't have to.
That's
you know.
True.
No, yeah, of course.
I feel like, because I fly around a lot, so I was like, you have to make a decision. And I'm not going to have kids, I think. Unless there's an accident. but unless I want to trap someone. I kid. I kid.
A baby.
But I've been trying hard, like, with being a vegetarian, so it's like, just eating scrambled eggs all the time.
Yeah.
It's very hard. Sometimes I just want to get a bit of duck.
You
know?
But you should, though. I think you should, you know, and do some, like, take one less flight.
Because
we could have Skyped this, Alison.
I could have Skyped here, yeah.
My
uncle, John Paul, I used to be a vegetarian when I loved Morrissey when I was a teenager, right? Yeah. And my uncle, John Paul, used to make me pizza. And he'd be like, eat that pizza. I'd be like, why? It's just cheese. And I'd look and I'd lift up the cheese and it was several small bits of ham cut very small, like shredded ham under the cheese. And I'd be like, you lied to me, John.
You'd be gross anyway.
Yeah. Is there anything that the audience want to ask Lily about food, actually? Because we're coming to the end of it now. And you've been lovely. It's been great. I've had a great time. It's the first ever time I've done a podcast while having a glass of wine and it's been lovely.
Yeah, you know, Graham
Martin. Is there anyone out there? Let's see.
I was at the Ploughing Championships a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been to it.
I've been.
Yeah, so I've been to it. So, but I thought they all had these walking poles, you know, that they all had these sort of walking poles. And I came home and I was at the school gate and one of my friends is a farmer. And I was saying to him, like, everyone had those bloody walking poles. Like, what is it? And he was like, they're cattle prods. You know, so like, they look just like, so they all had cattle prods. So like, everyone was walking around cattle prods. Everyone walks in different directions. It's actually, it was crazy there. It was my
with
first
a cattle
time
prod.
Yeah, they all walk around with cattle prods. You know, so they're around 2 for 5 at the ploughing, apparently. And if you don't come home with a cattle prod, you weren't at the ploughing. You know, you can't, if you don't get any cattle prod. But anyway, I was doing a cookery demo there. And then we were saying, you know, all the old ladies and stuff were all talking amongst themselves while I was doing it, which is grand, because they were talking about what I was doing and stuff. That was grand. And then I was saying, like, any questions now? Any questions? Any questions? You know, and they were all just staring blankly at me. But then they all come up afterwards then. They have a million questions then afterwards. You know? And I just knew they did, like. So I was, like, even looking at one, you know, are you sure now? There's no, are you sure? It's okay? You know, and she's like, you know. And
then it's a secret question.
A beeline then, yeah, she takes out a piece of paper then about Christmas cake measurements. And I was just like, the question time was 5 minutes ago, lady, you know. It always happens, though. It's so funny, like, you know. It's so funny. But yes, if you haven't been to Splang, you should go.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's like they didn't want to say it in front of their friends or something. So they think
I don't know. It's just about Christmas cake. Like, it's just about raisins and sultanas and their inter, you know, can you...
What's the difference between raisins, currants and sultanas?
Oh, I'm not actually going to even... I presume it's something about grape varieties.
Right.
But... I don't know. Is it? Yeah.
Let's say it is.
We're going to say it is.
Yeah. I think I like sultanas the best, but I don't know
why. Oh, I do
why
as well. Yeah. And you know, like in Marks and Spencer's, you can get lovely big plump raisins and stuff. Ooh. They're gorgeous. So basically, if I always use raisins, sultanas, if I always soak them first before I use them. So like.
Soak them in what?
You can petrol. Soak them in like tea. You can soak them in rum. Similar
tea
to petrol.
Rum. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like rum and just. Beautiful. Yeah, oh. Spoon cakes. I always do that. Yeah, they're lovely.
I feel like I've learned so much and I've had great crack. Thank you so much
thank
for
you
coming.
Thank
no,
you.
It's been lovely. Isn't your hair thing lovely as well? Isn't it beautiful? Where thanks did you get your hair thing?
Claire's Accessories.
Really?
Yeah, hashtag ad. No, I actually got it from my... Do you know what? My poor sister, Rady, my sister got married during the summer and she showed me this beautiful hair piece she had and I was like... Really, that's beautiful. And it was, you know, she was a bride, like, so she got it for her. And I was like, that's gorgeous. It's so gorgeous. So then I went to Cork and was just, like, obsessed with getting a thing, not even aware of it, of getting a thing the same as her thing, you know? Like, she's a bride, like. And I was just like, I was in Claire's accessories getting stuff for my daughter for the wedding. And I was like, oh, look at that thing. Like, that thing is beautiful, you know? Like, all the glittery. I'm going to get that, you know? And then we went down to Dungarvan for her wedding. And one of my other sisters was like, that's just, like, Rady's thing for her hair. And I was just like, I'm psycho. You know you do that? Trying to upstage the bride, like, what a cow. So, but I wore it, I know it was lovely.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for
thank
coming,
you
lads.
Thank
you. Lynn. Another thing, very briefly. I'm doing the Dublin Podcast Festival, a wonderful festival, the 16th of November. I have Maya Dunphy, who has just got Johnny Marr to take down his song from a fascist person's political video. So she's pretty cool. She also co-wrote the biography for Mr. Tato. And if you listen to the Guilty Feminist episodes that I'm on, or even this podcast, you'll know I have a special relationship with Mr. Tato. After that, after the 16th of November, I don't know what I'm doing in Dublin. So I think the last time you can see me before Christmas, I'd say, is going to be at the Dublin Podcast Festival. So please make sure you go. Support Extraordinary. It was out in Ireland in September, and now it's going to be on in the UK in very, very select cinemas. So there's two cinemas that I can see, according to this website. It's in the Odeon in Haymarket in London this weekend, and Liverpool. So the film Extraordinary is, I think, it's a brilliant film. I'm in it very briefly, and Siobhan McSweeney's in it very briefly. And Will Forte. I met Will Forte in a haunted castle in Offaly. And he saw my Simpsons Repeal t-shirt and he knew what Repeal was. So he's a cool lad. And I had a great time being in that film. And I interviewed the director's daddy who were on in it. Do you know what? I'd re-record this, but I live in London. And you're just going to hear a lot of sirens. That is my life now. Thank you so much to Sarah Garvey for making the podcast happen. to Alan and Paddy from Headstuff, who have now built a new podcast studio that people can go in and watch live podcasts in. And the podcast I'm doing for the Dublin Podcast Festival will be one of the first podcasts. And it's Bring Your Own Drink. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to bring some fat frogs. I've seen them in a supermarket and I want to bring them back. They're good. They're very good alcopop. Or maybe I'll have wine. I don't know, depending on which mood I'm in. So congratulations to them and fair play to them. Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club. He's got this new music project called Sir Bobby Jukebox. Go check that out. And William Conway, who is my school friend and made the artwork, and I think he did a great job because he includes buttons and tropical birds and a religious iconography, which are things that I'm very much into. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you soon, I suppose.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.